Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving and with praise. We thank you that your presence is in this sanctuary. We thank you that you are alive and well, God, and no amount of chaos or evil or hate or fear or unrest dethrones you, Lord. You are steadfast. You are unmovable. You're a loving, gracious, merciful Father through every season, through every generation, through every uprising, through every downfalling. You are steadfast. And we look to you tonight, God, for all of our hope, for all of our help, for all of our peace, for all of our strength, for all of our wisdom, for all of our joy. We look to you, God. I pray that you touch the needs of the ones we have called out. We are thankful for David and Allison and their new addition in their life. We are thankful for this baby girl that you have birthed. We pray, God, for Allison right now that you restore her health completely. You watch over this baby the next few days and just be with this family as they start a brand new adventure together, Lord, and bless this home and bless that family. We pray for Teresa as she comes home, God, that you just give her the strength to be able to be at home and stay at home, and day by day give her the strength she needs, God, in her life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We do pray for our nation and for everyone involved, for all the hearts, all the minds, all the lives, all those, God, that are so emotional, and Lord, they're going through so much pain and hurt. I just pray, God, that we all look to you. We all look to our Heavenly Father. There is one Lord. There is one body. There is one Spirit. There is one baptism. And God, you are that one Lord and God, and we are that one body. And I pray healing for our body, our nation's body. Bless this service and bless this word. We are here, God, to worship you. And as we worship you, let us surrender all of ourselves, God, and just praise your holy name tonight, realizing you are the light that came into our darkness and changed it forever. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all sing along worship tonight. Here I'm to worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
God, right? You're my God. I says, I'm glad he's Roger's God, but I'm more glad he's my God. Does that sound selfish? I'm glad he's my God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's my God. Thank you, Martin. Y'all can be seated tonight if you so wish. Mr. Payton, are you going to go Mr. Randy or stay out here? Go Mr. Randy. Okay. We're going to start out tonight in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and talk about mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, a mirror, no matter how much we don't like it, gives us a very accurate picture of how we really look, doesn't it? People can tell us all we want. Oh, you're so pretty, girl. You're so pretty. But then we look in the mirror and we're like, they're not seeing what I'm seeing. Something else that really exposes things is light, right? I've learned I look a lot better in the dark than I do in the light. I think most of us say that, right? When the lighting's a little bit dim, we don't look so bad. But man, when you're under these bright lights, you see every blemish, every spot, every wrinkle, everything. It's amazing how light changes our appearance. But when you look in a mirror, you are seeing the accurate picture of who you are. Whether you want to admit it or not, the mirror doesn't lie. You may look skinny when you look down like this, but then when you look in a mirror like this, you're like, I don't look as skinny in that mirror as I do looking like this. The mirror just shows you what you really look like. We're going to talk about a spiritual mirror tonight, and I'm not going to get it all out this Wednesday because I want to take time on this topic. It might be a couple of weeks getting through this. Because I want us to really focus on our spiritual walk of what we see. Two questions I want to ask all of us. What do we see spiritually when we look at ourselves? And what do they see? Because sometimes we may have a false impression of who we really are because we see something different. It's like I said a couple weeks ago, I was picking on Rodney. You run into somebody you went to school with, right? Graduated 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And you run into him. And I love my wife tells me this. Sometimes I run to one of my classmates and she'll say, he graduated the same year you did? Yeah. He looks old. Yeah. Thank you, baby. I mean, I you know, no offense to him, but I'm glad he looks older than me, right? And sometimes we find ourselves, do I look that old? Do I look as bad as he does? And sometimes it's yes, sometimes maybe it's no. But the mirror doesn't lie. Spiritually speaking, I want us to really focus the next couple of weeks on what Paul says in Romans of how our life in Christ should reflect him. And not just reflect him in the good times, but reflect him when it's hard. It's easy to walk in forgiveness when there's nothing to forgive. It's easy to walk in beauty when there's no ugliness facing you. It's easy to step over the giants when no giant is standing in front of you. But when these times rise up, when someone is nasty and evil and mean against you, what is our response? As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to help us, to direct us. So let's start in Matthew chapter 5. I want to read a couple of verses before we get into Romans to kind of establish some groundwork of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, and these are the words of Jesus, "You are the light of the world." You. We carry His presence. How can they see God if they don't see Him through us? People see our Heavenly Father the very most through us. How we talk, how we live, how we treat others, through our actions, through our behavior, they see the Heavenly Father. We are a light. What does a light do? A light exposes darkness. A light shines a clear path. A light draws people to where you are at. Criminals do not like the light. We actually got extra lighting in our church parking lot last year. We upgraded to the LED lights. It's much, much brighter at night to get rid of the shadows that were around our corners. And now the shadows are more lit, so there's not darkness. People that's doing bad things don't like darkness. And so we as Christians are a light, Jesus says. We are a city that's set on a hill and cannot be hid. And look at the example he gives. I love this example. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. They don't light a candle and put it under a bed. But they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. When your power has went out in your house, and it does, I always have experienced losing power at night. You know, it freaks you out, right? 1 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden everything just shuts down, and it wakes you up. Pitch black. There ain't an alarm clock blinking. There ain't nothing on. It's pitch black. Power goes out. Here's what we do in our house. Melanie goes, gets candles, starts lighting candles, and she sticks them under the bed. She doesn't do that. Of course she doesn't. But with our spiritual walk, are we doing that? I'm a light for Jesus, but you can't see my light because I'm hiding my light. I'm not letting my light shine. Now, I don't mean in a way that we are condemning people and we are preaching at them and we are judging against them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about let the Holy Spirit in you, let love overtake hate. Let compassion overtake that against someone else. Oh, yes, absolutely. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak and pray for your healing touch upon Tony right now. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to cover him, and we pray for this pain to be released and lifted off of him, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, for your healing hand. You are the healer. As he touches your garment, Lord, let your Holy Spirit do what it does best. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray to you touch Tony's body right now as we believe together as a body of Christ right now that you touch him and help him in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Help him, Lord. Help him, Jesus. In Jesus' name, help him. Jesus. Touch this child of yours, Lord. Pass his way. In Jesus' name. You're driving, right? Okay. I help him get him in the truck. You sure? Okay. Blessed. Just keep Tony in our prayers. He goes. I don't know if he's going to go home or go somewhere else. I think he's going to try to go home. So, all right. We're talking about lighting a candle, that we don't hide it, right? We don't hide our life for Christ. We don't showboat it in a way that's arrogant or proud, but we do let people know through our life who we serve, who we believe in. And I'm going to tell you something, our biggest witness, our biggest testimony is not as much sometimes what we say as what we don't say. And what I mean by that is there's times that we get caught up to where we ruin our testimony because of what we say instead of just letting the Holy Spirit lead us. And there's times we speak and there's times we're quiet. There's times we move and there's times we stand still. We must let the light of the Holy Spirit guide us in every decision that we make in life. We don't hide our light. We don't cover it up. We shine it so everyone around us can see. I mean, think about this. Wouldn't you, if you were, you know, the power goes out in Jody and Joy's house, you know, and Jody's lighting up candles. He's not going to just save his own hide, right? Hopefully he's going to go back for, you know, his wife and say, hey, I got a candle. Follow me. I'll lead you out. You know, you got kids in the house. Come on, kids. You got dogs, cats, iguanas. Whatever you got, come on out. Here's a light. I mean, some of y'all got some weird pets. I know. My son used to have some. I know. My son used to have a scorpion and had snakes and guinea pigs and turtles and a parakeet. He brought baby chickens home, tried to sneak them in our basement one time. Like we wouldn't go discover baby chickens in our basement. I heard something now. What is that? You can't hide baby chickens inside a basement. But anyway. When you light a candle, it's for everybody's benefit. Follow me. I know the way out of where we're at to where we need to go. That's what we should be as Christians. We should be a light to others and not be ashamed to let our light shine. Verse 16, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not because of you, not because of your goodness, but it says here, that they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We do these things. We live our lives as Christians that our Father will. I say this all the time, that so many times as Christians, we paint the wrong picture of our Savior. We misrepresent him all the time. And that's why people all the time make the comment, you know, church full of hypocrites, da 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 da. You live just like I do. And for some people, that is true. I know many people that say they're Christians, they go to church every week, and I'm around them, and they talk like a sailor. And I'm like, something don't match here. Something's not right here. Your actions don't match your testimony. And so as spiritual people, as Christians, our actions should, the best of our abilities, match our testimony. And so I wanted to lay this groundwork of what Jesus says. We must first know that we are the light. We are to shine our light so that God is glorified. See, when we use restraint in a heightened situation, God gets glorified. When we're bold in some situations, God gets glorified. As long as we're following the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, God will get glorified. It's like I said, there's times we speak, there's times we're quiet, times we move, times we stand still. But in all things, let the Holy Spirit guide you in your reflection of the Father. Now, I want to give this mirror to someone. Let's see. I'll get to Sierra first. Not she needs a mirror by any means. I want Sierra to hold this mirror, and I want you to tell me how many people you see in that mirror. One, which is who? Just you, right? All she sees in that mirror is her. I think sometimes we're too worried about what other people look like that we don't work on what we look like. We're worried about, I do this jokingly, but I see it. Believe me, when you're on the stage, you see everything going on in the congregation. And there have been many, many times I'll be preaching a message and somebody will elbow the person beside them. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You know how many times I see Barbara elbow Don? When I'm talking about a subject, do this, and I'll say, Barbara, are you listening to him? We need to look in the mirror for ourselves. We only see our own reflection. Now, Sierra, let's be honest. Spiritually speaking, as honest as you can be, spiritually speaking, when you look in your spiritual mirror, what do you see for your life? What do you see in yourself? Unsatisfaction. You think you're coming short of the call of God in your life, or you're not reflecting Him the right way? It's very honest, isn't it? That's what she sees. What do you think your coworkers see when they see you? Just talking about spiritually speaking. Odd? Because you're not like them. And why is that? Why do they do that with you? They know she's a Christian. And you know what really tells me they really believe you're a Christian? Is they apologize when they say stuff they shouldn't in front of you. I'm telling you, I'm around a lot of people. I worked retail, food line, Walmart. I work, you know, around people all the time. If they didn't believe she was a Christian, they wouldn't apologize. She's one of the gang. I know you go to church, but you're one of us. They know. And you know what that tells me, Sarah? Here's what I see. While you telling me that, here's what I see in your mirror. That you are a reflection of your Heavenly Father to your coworkers. That's why they're uncomfortable. And that's a good thing. Not to a point that you want them, you know, being freaked out, but that it makes them think, Sierra's not like us. We're not supposed to be like the world, right? The Bible's clear on that. Be not like the world. Come out from among them. Be transformed, the Bible says in Romans 12, we'll get to later, by the renewing of your mind. We're not supposed to look like the world. So it's okay. I've been picked on my whole life spiritually for my stand. My whole life. When I worked at Walmart, down in Mooresville, guys give me a hard time, man, you know. We'd be standing up front working or whatever, and, you know, these women walk by. Oh, I saw you looking, James. Yeah. They just pick on me, trying to rat on my cage. I finally rattled their cage one day. I didn't give in to them. They come by and say, I see you seen that woman. She looked good, didn't she? I said, I ain't blind. They didn't pick on me no more after that. I think they realized, you know what? Okay. I wasn't going to get my goat. I'm not going to let them push my buttons to the point that gets me rattled. I was like, I ain't blind, you know. Really? You know, I'm not some monk in a monastery. I mean, I see what you see. I hear what you hear. I'm part of what you're part of. It's just that I've made a decision in my mirror that I want to reflect my Father more than I do the world. And see, Sierra sees in her spiritual mirror, I'm not where I should be. But then others, by our own admission, see her as a place where they're not at. It's all about perception. It's all about what we see. Now, if we look physically in the mirror, we'd have all kinds of issues, right? I see gray hair. I see wrinkles, you know. I see droopy eyes, a big nose, fat ears. I'm describing me, y'all, not none of y'all. I see, you know, my hair not what it was or is or ever was. You know, whatever. The mirror is very honest. You know, looking at me now, the lighting's too bright in here. The mirror's honest. Only you, when you're holding this mirror, can fix your life. And you're responsible for letting the Holy Spirit lead you. You're not as responsible for trying to change someone else. Let the Holy Spirit change you, and then the Holy Spirit, through you, will help change them. There's a big difference. We're too busy looking over here, you know, like if I was over here and you know, Say, okay, I got the mirror, right? And I'm looking at my own life. But what I'm really doing is I'm doing this. Yeah, at least I'm not that. At least I don't look quite like that. We're flipping the mirror to someone else's life. You know, at least I don't have that struggle, that problem. At least I'm not like that. Each one of us have a mirror we look in every day, our spiritual life. Every day we have a mirror. And we do produce reflection. My favorite analogy of this is Lion King, right? When the black magic monkey was swinging through the jungle or whatever, and he found Simba, right? And he says, "Your father's alive. He's alive." "He's not alive. He's dead." "No, he's alive. Follow me. He's alive." Simba's so excited. He's following the monkey, you know. I don't know if it's actually a monkey, but baboon, yes, thank you. Witch doctor baboon, yes. Oh, boy, I'm real spiritual. I'm talking about a witch doctor baboon. Okay, so he's following this witch doctor baboon, right? And he says, "Look." And he stirred the waters. And when he looked down, he saw a reflection of himself, right? And Simba said, "That's not me. That's my father." "Oh, but you and your father are one." And then he hears his father call from the great beyond, "Simba, remember who you are." He saw a reflection of himself, but a deeper thing that he was trying to show him was, you are a reflection of your father, and your father was king, and you were meant now to be king because you are of your father. Reflections are very telling of our lives. What are we reflecting? Times like we see now in our nation tell us a lot about who we're following, who we're listening to, whom we're trusting. I want to be a person that loves my neighbor, regardless of how that neighbor looks or what he's done to me. Because God didn't put any stipulation on that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Y'all, it's easy to love Sierra. She's sweet. She's cute. She's my cousin. I can say that. She's sweet and she's cute and she's smart and she's independent and she's a godly young woman. What was my point I was making? I had a point I was making. She's sweet. So it's easy to love her. It's not quite as easy to love someone who's cantankerous, who's used you, abused you, cussed you, cheated you, who has drained from you and taken from your life over and over and over. That person is harder to love. It doesn't mean we don't have to sometimes cut those people out of our lives to a degree that they don't. We don't let them abuse us anymore or use us, but we don't stop loving them. We don't stop showing compassion. We don't stop praying. Remember what the Bible says? Pray for who? Your enemies. Pray for your enemies. See, this is grandma, my grandma Minton's coffee I'm throwing at you right now. It's strong. This is the pot of granny's coffee. It's so strong it'll make hair grow back on top of your head. And we don't like hearing this because we like feeling the way we feel sometimes because we have our opinions about things. And so we want to pick a side or pick this and jump on it instead of saying, "Lord, I'm your child. I've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to let you lead my life through humility, through understanding, through discernment, through restraint, through discipline." The Bible says be sober-minded, right? We can't just go off half-cocked every time something happens. We've got to say, "Lord, I want to follow you." Who am I reflecting? Am I reflecting the enemy and evil? Or am I reflecting my father and good? Who do I see? And then who do they see? And sometimes they don't match. Even with Sierra, it kind of went the other way. She sees herself as less than, but her coworkers see her as more than. Sometimes it's opposite. Sometimes we see ourselves as more than, yeah, I'm the best thing since Frito-Lay, right? You can't just have one. We see ourselves that way, and others are like, "Psh, you're a loser." Sometimes it's mixed up. perception is different. Each one of you have a mirror that you have to look your life into every single day. Am I a reflection today of my Heavenly Father, or am I reflecting the enemy? Am I reflecting what God wants me to put forth? Am I being the light to someone, or am I being a stumbling block? Am I the one holding the candle for everybody, or am I the one hiding it or even blowing it out so they don't see what's going on? Each one of us is in charge of our own reflection, because each one of us are individuals in the same body, but we're individuals in that body. So no matter how much we want to think someone else needs to change, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to look in our mirror and say, God, what do you want from me? God, shape me. Change me. Jeremiah in the potter's house, right? As God had him, gave him that vision, as he goes down and here's the clay. He's the potter. And he didn't just throw away the clay, right? Like a lot of people, they'll throw away the old unused clay. The clay they messed up, throw it away, start over. Not God, no, don't throw it away. Take the clay that's been marred and messed up. I'll take it and I'll reshape it and I'll make it into something beautiful if you'll let me. I'm the potter. You are the clay. It's my wheel I'm spinning. Let me shape you to the point that you reflect me in the best possible way that you can here on the earth. We are a light. And we need that light. We don't need to walk in darkness. We are not children of darkness anymore. We are children of light. Let's get in Romans 12. I'll read a few verses. I won't get through it all tonight. But Romans 12, verse 1. Paul writes this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to present our lives to God and surrender our lives to God for Him to shape us in what way He wants to, not what we want. As hard as life gets, it's in those tough times we have to look in the mirror and say, God, I don't like what I'm becoming. I don't like how I'm acting. I need you to do a makeover in my life spiritually. Because, God, I know that I'm supposed to present my life to you, all of my life, in the best way I can. The Bible says in one place, do not yield your instruments unto sin, but yield them unto righteousness. We do have a choice. And we can let God shape us. And we can let the devil shape us. And I know the devil has a lot of shiny toys that look really good. A lot of fun things that will pull us away. But then when he gets us over there, we see the damage and destruction. Don't let the enemy influence you. Let the Holy Spirit influence you. Present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. God, I want to reflect you in my daily living, my daily actions, my daily conversations. And I, seriously, something happens to me. Places that I'm at, people talk, you know. Got to the cemetery today, and this guy was just, you know, letting them out. He's, I'm sorry, preacher. I've got you standing there. I'm sorry, preacher. Well, it's more than just me standing there, right? It's his God standing there as well. But I'm glad. It used to make me feel awkward. Now I'm glad they recognize that. I'm glad that they feel uncomfortable, because I don't want to hear that talk. I don't want to be a part of that. And I want them to know that's not how I talk. Not because James Lewis is all that, because believe me, if Melanie was here, she would amen 20,000 times. I got my problems, absolutely. But I want to reflect my Lord, and I want people, and people that know me know that that's not how I talk. I've ever talked that way. It's only because I've let the Holy Spirit lead my life and try to guard my tongue. Now, I can say things out of anger. I have fussed at people. I've yelled at my kids. I've yelled at my wife. I never yelled at my dad. I probably raised my voice to my mom a few times as a kid, because, you know, moms are softer, but not dad. Definitely not dad. But I've raised my voice at my dogs, at my cats, at my car. Stupid piece of, why don't you run? I'm so sick of that. I've done that. I've said things out of anger. But the people around my life know there's a certain way they're not going to hear me talk. And there's jokes that they don't need to say around me, because I will shut that down. I'll shut it down, and I will tell them how I feel. And to me, that is letting my light shine in a way. And they don't like it. Sarah's right. It sometimes can be very awkward for people. And there's times, and I've been here my whole life, a little group of people be talking, right? And then I walk up. And it's not they're talking about me, but it's because their conversation isn't what they know I want to hear. So they just scatter. And that's okay. I'd rather my light shine for God and be an outcast and a nerd than to be part of the world. Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present them. Then verse 2 is such a powerful verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's so easy to be like the world. Growing up as a teenager, when you hit 12, 13, 14, you want to be like everybody else. You want to conform. The kids at school got a certain kind of shoes. I want them shoes. They have a certain style. They start dressing. I want that style. Certain haircuts. I want that haircut. Certain look. I did it. When I was in high school, this tells my age. When I was in high school, the popular things was guys wore jean jackets. That was a cool thing. We had the jean jackets. And we had the jelly bracelets. Y'all remember the jelly bracelets, by chance? I had several of them, different color jelly bracelets. They were so cool. And I have what they call the MC Hammer pants. They were baggy, flowy pants. And I had two or three pair of those bright colored pants. My dad probably thought I was such a heathen. I wore these bright colored genie pants. Because that was the style. And my jean jacket and my jelly bracelets. And, you know, back in the high school days, my generation is kind of what started for the normal guys to start wearing earrings. Not the, you know, the ones that leaned a little the other way. The ones that were straight. And so that started in my generation. And I knew I didn't really want an earring guy, but you know what? When I was about 19 years old, I told you a story. When I was 19 years old, I was dating Melanie. I went and got them magnetic studs just to see if I would like it before I pierced my ear. And they were magnetic. I could take them off and on. I had a little magnetic stud. I just had one ear because back then it was cool to have the one ear. You had to make sure it was the right ear, though. The right ear. I don't remember. Anyway, I put in the one that's supposed to. And I had it. And I went to that little stage for a little bit, and I kept losing the earrings in Melanie's hair and was going on dates. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, so I figured out that wasn't a cool deal for me. You know, I had me a sports car, a Firebird. I went and got the tinted windows, because that's what you did at 16, 17 years old. You got the tinted windows, man. And I got the dark tint. I got limo tint. It was so dark, you had to put your hands against my glass to see in, and still could barely, it was dark. And I went and got the mag wheels, saw blade wheels with 3-point spinners. My spinners got stole one day at Signal Hill Mall, the fireworks night. When we had the fireworks, Melanie drove my car. I was working. She went back to the car, and all 4 spinners were gone. I was so sad. I had the boom box. You know why? I want to be like everybody else. I got me a 12-inch boom box with 2 mid-ranges, a big woofer, 2 mid-ranges. Had the back of my Firebird, and I had that bass cranking. Had me a stereo in there. And I remember Dad could hear me coming down the road for 2 miles. He gets so mad. You can't touch it. Doo, 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 doo. You can't touch this. That bass would be going. Or CC Music Factory, right? Everybody dance now. Poop, poop. Oh, I love that song. I would jam to that song. Was I a Christian? Yes. Did I love Jesus? Yes. But man, I like some MC Hammer too. And I like my bass. It vibrate my mirror like that. I can't see out my rearview mirror, that bass. Your girls went through that, Gail. They went through that stage. Maybe not as girls as much as guys on that kind of stuff, but they went through their girl stages. You wanted to be cool. So you dressed the part. You looked the part. You drove the part. You acted the part. You said all the words that we used back in the day. You know, whatever our words were back in high school, we used those little cliche words, you know. Yeah, you know. Well, you know, we use those words because that's what we did. It's so easy to conform to the world because that's being pushed against us. But something about Christians are different. We have the Holy Spirit who is real and alive inside of us that is stronger than that which is in the world. And that did keep me grounded, plus Bill Fuller, kept me grounded. I bet Bill thought I was such a heathen back in the day, man. He kept me grounded. And the Holy Spirit kept me grounded because it was stronger than the pull of the world. We don't have to be conformed to what the culture says is acceptable or is right. Each of us in here, each of you watching, you have your set of moral codes you live by. You have what you believe in, what you stand on, and what you don't stand for. And we as Christians cannot allow the enemy's lies or the enemy's world to become our world. The Bible says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The only way that happens is we have to hear what God has to say. We have to read what God says. We have to think how God thinks. We have to understand who we serve and let Him change the intents of our heart. Because we are born in sin. That's very evident from a child that we are born in sin. This precious little baby, David Allison, just had a few hours ago, a couple hours ago, was born in sin. And it won't take them long to see that sin come out. When that little baby starts back-talking and rolling its eyes and saying no and swatting at you. That sin does that. It's that rebellious nature. Do not allow the world to become who you are. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That really should be our life as Christians. In the middle of chaos, in the middle of everything happening, God, I want your will in my life to come out, whatever that is. I don't want to get caught up acting like a fool. I don't want to get caught up in anger. I don't want to say something that's going to hurt someone because I'm in a bad moment. I don't want to say something that could ruin a friendship or a relationship because I got emotionally attached to something. God, I want your spirit to guide me. When I look in my spiritual mirror, God, I want to see what would you do? Remember, he had a little slogan several years ago, WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? That was a big thing, WWJD. Everybody had bracelets. And it really was a good concept. If we would think about that, what would Jesus do? In this moment, what would he do? The Bible says God is love, period. He's love. So we know God would love. We know God forgives. One of his disciples said, Lord, how many times have I got to forgive someone? Because the law says seven times. And Jesus says, not seven times, not under the new covenant, 70 times seven. You forgive every time. Every time. Forgiveness is hard, but forgiveness is what we should see when we look in our mirror. When I look in my spiritual mirror, am I getting a reflection of, am I forgiving or am I holding on? Am I loving or am I hating? What am I seeing? What are they seeing? Because here's the thing, like in Sierra's life, she just said, her coworkers know she's different. She says odd. They probably don't think she's odd. They probably just know she's a Christian. To them, that may seem odd. Because the cool thing for most people, even Christians, is to go out to the bar on a Saturday night, have a few drinks, hang out, do this, do that, you know, talk any way they want to talk. Because that's their part. They're trying to live two worlds, two lives. This is my Friday night reflection. Here's my Sunday reflection. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hello. Thank you. We have different reflections, don't we? We need a consistent, constant reflection that when people, and I guarantee you, Sierra's coworkers, if they were going through a crisis, she'd be one they would come to. Even they think she's odd. You know what? You're a Christian, right? Yeah. Why need you pray about something? I don't know if I really believe all that or I don't want to go to church, but I'm in a really bad way. And if there's a God, if there's any hope, can you pray for me? I've had folks do that to me. I had a woman I was helping where Melanie works. You know, I don't know as much as I was. I've been so busy, but I was volunteering quite a bit up there. And I had a woman who was a pronounced atheist. I mean, she absolutely told me she does not believe at all in God of any sort. None at all. And that didn't enrage me. I would just spend more time talking to her, and I would just kind of get on her level. We talk about things of life, and I started bringing up creation because she loved creation. She loved, like, gardening and stuff. And I said, you know those things you plant, they grow? What makes them things grow? You know, well, the science and the elements of nature. Yeah, but who's over science? Who's over nature? So I began to talk. And as far as I know, she still don't believe, but she came to me one day. This has blew my mind. This is why I said this Sunday. I don't think there really are any atheists. I think everyone inside truly has some longing or understanding there's something more. Because she came to me. She said, it's going to sound really stupid asking you this. I know I don't believe, and you know I don't believe, but I've got a real issue with the living situation. And I want you to pray, God, that something will work out. God will work that out. And I'm just sitting there with this professed person saying they don't believe, came to me, and even said, I know I don't believe, it's going to sound crazy, but if there's any hope, any chance, can you pray that this works out? What does that tell all of us by that statement? That there is something in her, right, that wants to believe. Maybe she doesn't, but she wants to. Because that's in our DNA. God, the Bible says God created us. In fact, I think it's in Ecclesiastes. God created us with the perspective of eternity, to look at eternity. We are forever. That's my message Sunday, right? Tomorrow is forever. We are forever as God's people. And there's a forever longing for all of us. And of course, I told her. In fact, I prayed with her right there in the office. I took her aside. We prayed right there. I mean, want to see how it worked. Prayed with her. I want my reflection to point people to the God I serve. And it's not a God of hate or a God of judgment or a God of wrath or a mean going to get you God. It's a God of compassion and forgiveness, understanding, long-suffering, mercy. We should be reflecting. You know, I have both my parents in me. I look like both of them mixed. I have actions like both of them. I run to people sometimes and say, are you David Lewis's son? Don't even know me. So yes, I used to work with him. You look like you'd be his son. Don't even know me, but they know my dad. I reflect him because his DNA's in me. You know, the bloodline's connected. When you look in your little mirror starting in the morning when you wake up, when Roger looks in that mirror and combs all that thick hair, brushes them nice teeth and washes that smooth face, he looks in the mirror. What is he seeing? Lord, let them see you through this. God, let them see you through this. We're not perfect. And I'm going to tell you something. They'll point that out pretty quick. Let Sierra let a really ugly word come out at work and see how fast then people say, ooh, I go tell your preacher, you said a naughty word. Sierra, I'm so ashamed of you. Get away from me, you nasty. I mean, they'll call you out. We're not perfect. But in the end, we should strive for each of our mirrors to reflect him. And don't worry about who else. Don't worry about you. When I'm getting ready in the mornings, I don't care how Melanie looks. I ain't trying to get her ready. I ain't trying to get my kids ready. I mean, they do that a little, but not now. I'm getting me ready. How do I look? Nobody else. How do you look spiritually? We'll go pick us up next Wednesday night because I want to get through Romans. It gets a lot better. It gets a lot stronger. So bring your coffee cups next week. It gets a lot stronger. Talking about loving your enemies, talking about submitting to those. It's good. It really is detailed about how we should reflect our Heavenly Father. So we will close out with that. Anything on here I need to, Facebook I need to share before we close out? Anything popped up, Marjorie, that is a note? Okay, good. Good. Keep Tony Cook Church in your prayers. They were here at church, and he had to leave early. He was not feeling well, so they did make it home. And just keep him in your prayers. And once again, if you didn't catch this, Dave and Allison have had their baby, little girl. Let's see if she texts me back the weight on that. Nope, she didn't get the weight on it. Not how much it weighs, but they did have their little baby. So happy for them. That's awesome. I want to announce we will be starting our adult Sunday school class back this Sunday. Mr. Bill Fuller will be prepared. And y'all will meet in the fellowship hall as always. So that starts back Sunday at 9 o'clock, adult Sunday school. And we do have our children's church, just a reminder by it, is going again as well. So you can be here at 10 o'clock. We would love to see you and be here to worship with us. Anybody got anything to say before we close out tonight? Thank you for letting me use you tonight, by the way. I appreciate it. That worked out really nice. Oh, one more very important note. Village Inn Pizza has their buffet back open again. So just so y'all know that, it's back open. So that's really big news. So I'll be hitting that really, really soon. You don't like Village Inn? Oh, okay. So you haven't been back, huh? That happens. When you get food poisoning, it kind of ruins the experience. Yeah. So, well, I've eaten there many times and haven't got food poisoning, so I'm sorry about that. It will. I have to not think about that now next time I go. I got to get that out of my mirror. Okay, don't reflect Sierra's food poisoning. You've eaten there. How many years you ate there every week? How long has that routine been going on? Several years? Yeah, 3 or 4 years. Old Gail hits Village Inn once a week every week. That's his thing. So, anyway, all righty. Let's close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your light that shines in us. Let us be that light and not hide it. God, let us be the voice that you use. Let us be the hands that you use, the feet that you use, the ears that you use, the eyes. God, let us be used by you to bring hope and healing, to bring love and understanding to all those around us. When things are hard, when things are bad, it's not time for us to be bad too, God. It's time for us to turn to you. Say, God, what would you have me do? And let us follow your plan. We thank you and we give you all honor and praise for being our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.